News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Flattered to be here, I'll be honest with you. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan, thank you very much for coming in all week. Dalton, hopefully back on Monday is what we're thinking. But appreciate you putting in two shifts at FM Talk 106.5.
I'm used to it, man.
You've done it for a long time.
No problem.
I did give you a little reprise there, but now you're back here.
They keep pulling me back in. I try to get out, and they pull me back in.
Do we want to hear from the governor right now?
Yeah, we'll set this up. So governor yesterday had a press conference for the Safer at Home extended. This was initially slated for the 11th. It was going to happen. She got on it early because I imagine the information wasn't going to change in between. And this is what she had to say yesterday about the mask mandate.
We look forward to the days when we can greet one another again and interact in public while easily seeing each other's faces and smiles that aren't hidden behind those blooming masks. However, this is one sacrifice that we all can make in order to keep our friends and loved ones safe and keep the rest of the disruptions to our personal lives at a minimum.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's basically no big surprise, because we've been saying for weeks there was no way we're going to have. So you have these different levels, right? We had the stay-at-home order, which was way back in the spring, that was relieved back in May. Remember that?
For your
only essential personnel could be out. They told mom-and-pop stores they had to close, even though the box stores were open.
I never understood that.
Many of us do not. And governor said she learned her lesson from that, would never do that again.
Yeah.
Then we moved into where we are now, safer apart, and now we're actually safer apart amended, for what that means. What it means is the mask mandate is still in effect.
Mm-hmm.
It means the issues on social distancing, the 6 feet and all that, are still in effect, which will be part of this story, too, because the Mardi Gras angle. So the governor does that yesterday to no big surprise, but extends it through the 22nd of January. And at the trend we're going now, I don't see that changing again in January, unless something unforeseen happens. But something we've talked about is neighboring states, and this is a fair discussion, neighboring states, Georgia, Florida, without mask mandates, what are their case numbers looking like? And here's the problem. You could argue that, okay, you might say, hey, we've got rising numbers of coronavirus cases, so show me how the mask mandates worked. Mm-hmm. We have rising cases.
Mm-hmm.
The danger in that is, and then those people say, well, would they be more if we didn't have the mask? It's one of those things that's impossible to prove, right? Well, unless you go through a double-blind study and put people from Alabama in these.
But state to state, you do have these comparisons, correct?
I think we compare
to Mississippi pretty. I mean, that would be a fair comparison.
But, you know, it's been weird. There's different, not weird, it's just been different surges at different times. So Georgia had a surge, Florida's had a surge. We're now having numbers rise. The whole country's having numbers rise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people are saying, hey, you're extending the mask mandate even though these cases are going up. So how do you prove that this is the right decision as you look at a Florida or a Georgia or Mississippi? So, but the governor's not going to come off that. That's going to be part of it. And part of it, as I said, you know, the Mardi Gras angle too, being in that safer at home amended zone means that by health department, I'm just paraphrasing here, but by what the health department says, you couldn't have people on the parade routes as per normal. Now, suggestion the other day in the conversation with Steve Joint for the Mobile Mask was you'd put these pods up. In other words, you use the guardrails to make like little areas where one family or one group could be, and then you'd have a separation, and then another 6 feet later, you'd have something like
another pod of people.
Yes. Yeah. But what you're looking at, so the governor said she was not, you know, yesterday she said she was not shutting down Mardi Gras. Well, listen, there's not a politician out there that wants to be, or an entity out there that wants to be responsible for shutting down Mardi Gras. But if this doesn't change, then it's going to be tough. I'm not saying something won't happen, but it'll be very different with this. So the mask mandate is still in effect. Its effect for Mardi Gras is still what it was. Nothing's changed, basically. We're in the same scenario. It didn't get better for the chances of that. By the way, too, online opinion poll question on our website, fmtalk1065.com, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fmtalk. It says, in light of the governor's mask mandate extension, do you wear your mask in public? Never, sometimes, most of the time, all the time. That is another part of this. Idealistically, there's a discussion to be had about the executive emergency action to impose a mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And we can debate that one, and I think we should. The other part of it, pragmatically, do you see people not just choosing not to wear? Do you see anybody? And somebody had texted me the other day, said they were stopped, but I have not seen anybody not given service or kicked out of a store for not having a mask. Have you?
No. And
you have sheriff's departments that say they're not going to enforce the mask mandate. They will enforce if a business owner says, I want people to have a mask here, and that person doesn't, they don't leave. Sheriff's departments around the state have said, in so many words, that they would remove that person for trespassing,
right,
not for a mask mandate.
Right. And so I've been in stores where I was in a store yesterday, a little convenience store out on Spring Hill Avenue, and I was, I think there might have been three or four of us in the store. The cashier was behind plexiglass, so that wasn't an issue. And the other three did not have masks on. So okay. I was the only, you know, so I looked like I was robbing the place. Because everybody else was looked like they were law-abiding citizens, and I was the one suspicious. But usually that's not the case. But it seems to be in the smaller convenience stores or the in-and-out stores that you're dropping in and getting out real quickly. Some people, that's where I think people are more relaxed. When I go to a big grocery store or a bigger place of business, it seems that most everybody's got the mask on. I have been in businesses where it's a little bit gray. You walk in, you want to do business with some people have got their masks on, some don't. And that's what I'm talking about. Sitting down and meeting with people, it can be a little bit different there. It's almost home team gets to make the call.
But there's let's lay out. This is the problem. There's a lot of variance here, and government often doesn't do a good job with, especially with some new law or action. It's not law; it's an executive action. Seeing the nuance in it. Say you walk into that convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And the person behind they're behind the plexiglass, and you got the little hole where you shove your money through.
Okay, that's going to become the new normal, I guess, too.
Well, no, listen, most businesses, which, by the way, my man John and the crew at Alpha Plastics.
That's what they do.
They do that, and they've done so many of these, and that's the place to go if you got to put one up. If you're in that convenience store you talked about, you're in there, and there's nobody else but you and the cashier, and they're behind the plexiglass.
Mm-hmm.
Logically, do you have to wear the mask?
Logically, you don't.
If there's nobody else in the store, but you and that. So, I mean, for somebody, even if you're like a full mask advocate, in that case, should it not be a mandate? And then, you start getting into this stuff.
The owner or the cashier has protected themselves already.
Correct. And so you're in there and nobody else is in there.
Doubling down with my mask on.
Right. If somebody came in and said, well, you've got to have a mask on. Well, why? Because there's nobody else in here.
Yeah.
I think there's those kind of scenarios we see out there that bring up that question. The second one is, seriously, pragmatically, have you seen anybody that has been kicked out of a business?
Or arrested.
Or arrested or told. And it's not going to be arrested here because law enforcement has said it.
Yeah.
They will work. They will arrest somebody for trespassing, not for anything else. Would they? And the stuff that drives me crazy. The person that has the mask jauntily affixed to their face, mm-hmm. nose out, mm-hmm. half their mouth out. Yeah, they got a mask on their face, but are they? What? Then at that point, it's a talisman, man. It's a lucky rabbit's foot in your pocket. You believe that it's going to protect you. You don't have your face covered. Are you somehow better or superior to the person that walked in without the mask?
They're pretty sure that their blank doesn't stink or something like that. here's the thing: I was at a Dollar General. There was a woman that we all had masks on, except one lady who was spouting off about the pandemic. And then when she left, the cashier looked at the three or four of us that were left with masks on and said, hey, look, I'm not the mask police like that.
Hey, that's above the. I mean, who wants to be the cashier?
Right.
Although I'm looking at the text line here, and we'll take your phone calls too at 343-0106 about this. 343-0106. Matt says like this. He said, "I was unfortunately shopping at the mall Saturday. I feel your pain, Matt." He said, "We went in." Although then he says, "We went into Spencer's." That would be might be the only reason I would go in the mall today, because I'm just grown up enough.
Spencer's
that still,
is your place, huh?
Yeah, where I had all the gag gifts. As a kid, we used to go to Spencer's. Mm-hmm. So he said, we went into Spencer's, and my mask wasn't covering my nose. The worker told me to pull my mask up or leave, so I left. Matt, my question is, if you're not going to put it up over the nose, then just don't have it, you know? And I can't believe, Matt, you have on your permanent record now. You got kicked out of Spencer's even before you could buy the the flatulence machine or the
chattering teeth, fake
dog poop or all the. So Phyllis says, Walmart near Providence.
Okay.
Okay, so the one I'm trying to think, the one that's near. Oh, I know where, like, the small one that's tucked back there. I know
new
exactly
one.
Where. Okay. Walmart near Providence. She means Providence Hospital. Guy didn't have a mask on coming in. Door checker stopped him, and he left angrily when he told her he had told him he had to wear a mask. So there's, see, this is good. So we're getting some actual experiences.
I don't get that guy, though. I don't get the guy that's being angry about it. You know, I mean,
but they don't. Here's the problem: is that being, if we're looking at equal treatment, it just depends on who's on duty.
Yes, it does.
So there's people, because we can go right now after the show, and we can go to Walmart, and I see maybe they wear the mask coming in, and then take it off when they get inside or something like that.
No, I think Walmart actually does have a.
The people in front.
Lady Dollar General was like, I'm not mask police.
They have
I'm
mask
just
police.
Working here. That's a mask police.
What if somebody takes it off once they're in? You know, the way that if I may or may not had an inappropriate rock and roll T-shirt that I was going to wear out on a Friday night.
Right.
I had it underneath my other shirt when I left the house, and my parents would not see the other one. Then I'd take it off and have the AC/DC T-shirt on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. See, now Greg says, yes, because I'm potentially spreading the virus to surfaces. Credit card machine. Yeah, but the mask doesn't help you with that. And Matt's saying is, you know, that it's hard to breathe with the mask. Matt, they ought to put a camera on me. From the second I put the mask on, I start getting hot for no reason. I get hot and then I start sweating. I have to limit my time in somewhere with a mask and buy, which I'm not a big shopper. I don't like dally much.
No kidding.
But, yeah, it makes me sweat for some reason.
Right, we'll get some of the phone calls. Get some of the phone calls on the way. FM Talk 106.5. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Dan, Sean in for Dalton. It's 8:24.
All right. We'll go to the phones in a second here, but great text coming in. This is what I love. You're getting, like, firsthand experiences here, because I only have the experiences that I have. You only have your, you know.
Yep.
So...
a lot of stories coming in.
Yeah, so Brian says CC's Pizza has refused service to myself and coworkers twice now. Okay, so and I have one from Eric about going in Five Guys hamburgers. And so you can not have a mask on when you're eating, right? That makes sense.
Right.
You can actually not have a mask on, go into bars. But you have to have it like in the... in the restaurant scenario, it sounds like maybe to go in and order, you have to have it on. Then when you go to the table, you take it off. Is that the...
I think so.
That's what Eric was saying, that he was told that they couldn't come in there if they didn't have a mask on. He said, well, those people who are eating over there don't have a mask on, can't eat through a mask. She said it's a law, so we left. And that's one thing, too. You have that ability to make your choice. That's a beautiful thing. You don't have to patronize, or you can choose to patronize, depending on that. Tony says, doesn't the mask mandate just say that you have to wear a mask? Haven't seen where it says the mask has to be worn if I'm in the wrong. Just says that you have to wear a mask. Haven't seen where it's, maybe wear worn properly is maybe what he's saying. I don't know. If, you know, the properly thing, it does bother me. Because if you're going to do it, just do it.
Do it. Right.
So you got a text here from Carlos, says, I work at Walmart. We have health ambassadors. So that's the term, health ambassadors.
They're at the door to bust you.
It's like the downtown parking diplomats that run the parking meters down there. Health ambassadors and parking diplomats.
Parking diplomats.
We have health ambassadors at the door just to remind people to wear a mask. We do not enforce it. We just remind them it's too dangerous to enforce. Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, if I'm given the job there and they say you make them wear a mask, I'm not going to make another. That's not my job.
Yeah, the health ambassadors I've seen at Walmart, I guess, is that what they're calling them?
Yes, health ambassadors.
They look like poll workers. They're older, slightly on the feeble side. It's not Chuck Norris. So he can't enforce anything, but they are there to at least give you a reminder.
But what if the person, if the person wears the mask through the same way I wore the rock and roll, the other T-shirt over the rock and roll T-shirt, and they get in the store and then they take it off.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying they do it, but what if, Randall says, just shopping makes me sweat too. Well, listen, Randall, it does. And then you put a mask on me. Tim was at the REI store in Nashville this past weekend. They had people checking your proper mask fit at the door and okay you in the door. They also had proper mask fitting instructions. I also defend the right of businesses to go above and beyond the mandate. That's the same way I think the business should be able to make a decision either way, which is not the scenario right now. If they want to say, you got to wear like a N95 mask and a helmet to come in the store, it's their business.
I think I just pulled Giuliani.
Yeah, it's. I mean, at the same time, I mean, let the market. Yeah, well, let the market decide. If a place wants to be so restrictive, then the market decides whether you're going there or not. When people say, I want to make them not have their. No, they can choose to.
It's going
to
be.
Give them the freedom of.
It's going to be a sad day, Sean, when I suddenly get to the door of where I'm walking into and twirl around and say, I forgot my helmet.
Yes, yes, because you're going to have to keep it on.
We're doing that. And by the way, I've got to bust myself on this. So you've been on me about what I've got. It's a gaiter.
So you've got one of
And it's around my neck.
We call them the buffs, like the cool fishing guys.
Yeah.
I'll wear them offshore, to keep from getting sunburned. My problem, just the same way I was talking earlier, the mask drives me crazy. I can't wear one. I just put on more sunscreen because those things drive me crazy on my face. But the study showed those buffs, those things, the Bandito mask, actually are worse than not having one at all. They said because it aerosolizes, it goes through there and makes it takes your hose from, whatever, full stream and puts it on shower spray or whatever, mister. You know the thing like watering the ferns, that mister setting? That's what they say that does when you go through one of those Bandito masks.
So, in fact, I'm always with them, people are like, no, why do you have it? Why do you have it around your neck? And I'm like, so I don't forget. And when I go somewhere that I need the mask,
It looks good.
Oh,
You think it sets off your outfit.
I think it sets off my blue eyes.
I think I'll take a picture of this and put it on Twitter here. So y'all
Let's
can
do it.
Judge for yourself here. Let's see.
FM Talk 106.5.
It looks good, yeah. Doesn't look silly at all. Nah, that looks good on you. You get a free bowl of soup with that buff.
We're at 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5, and we talk with Rob Hobart from Lanyap on the way. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwig. And I guess we're going to round out the week. We're coming again tomorrow, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
8:51, we've got Rob Hobart from Lanyap on the line.
Let me, as we get back into this conversation, Rob, looking at a text here, John said, kind of money they pay to win is way too much. It threatens my allegiance to sports and the entertainment industry that includes football coaches. To heck with sports and entertainment, paying these people too much devalues what most of us earn.
Well, I mean, I think if you really think about it in college football, the really stark contrast, of course, is that the guys that everybody's going to see don't get paid anything.
Right.
And it's, I mean, that I know that gets into that whole big argument of whether students ought to get something. I'm of the opinion if you're using their likenesses and you're selling jerseys with their names on it and you've got football, video games with their likeness on it, they ought to get something. I mean, that's just
the nuance of that, how that actually would be done, that I mean, that's a whole other show. I'll book you for 2 hours to talk about that. But here on this coach's side, we had a robust discussion during the news there, the three of us, that it's you're you're paying people to lose. I mean, you're like, it's where in elsewhere in business, except for like CEOs and some things with golden parachutes, so we can talk about those, but you would incentivize, when it seems like it doesn't, incentivizing winning would say, hey, the team you're taking over is, you know, 2-8, you get us to, you get us to 4-8 next year, there's 100,000. You get us to, you know, 6-4, then there's another 250 or something like that. I mean, that makes sense in the real world, that you win, you change what's going on here, you profit.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we all know that when they win, they're going to leave. And so, you know, it's, I don't know why we are in a, I just, it's a really strange thing to do, and especially, I think it, the interesting part of it is, with the success of Alabama and the success of Clemson, it really has, if you look at it, it's really limited the number of coaches who've won national championships. I mean, you know, it seems to me it's like that group, is they have a lot less hand to walk in and say, well, you know, I've got you a national championship. I mean, you look at Ogeron, he wins a national championship one year and he's not even ranked the next year. And so, you know, what is the bargaining? It just seems to me the bargaining power is on the side of the schools, and they really ought to get out of that.
And more specifically, in South Alabama right now, evidently phone ringing off the hook. They've got more people after
this. That's what we hear, too, you know, and it is that it's a very highly sought-after job.
Yeah, so if you were going to negotiate at your very best, it's kind of like, we'd like to give it to you, but Jimmy Kentucky likes it, too, and so-and-so over at
I mean, I think it's, I mean, to me, it seems like the schools are in a better position. I mean, I'm not Joel Urban, who's having to negotiate these things, but it's and he's a smart guy, and I'm sure he knows what he's doing. But I do think it just seems to me like they have a little bit more hand in this thing at this point. They just say, yeah, you know what? If you think you can win, then you're coming here to win, right? Okay, well, we'll have a contract. You'll have a buyout if you're a winning coach, and we get rid of you.
Yeah,
if you don't think you can win, maybe you're not the guy anyway.
Yeah, and if the phone's ringing off the hook, it is a buyer's market out there. So we'll watch this, see what happens with it. Also, speaking of competition out there, I guess it'll be officially on Saturday. But this is, I don't think, a surprise to a lot of folks, but announcement that Judge Carlos Finley entering the mayoral race for 2021.
Yeah, it's kind of the worst-kept secret in town. He's been talking about it for a year. And so... not surprising at all. The thing that still is sort of up in the air is whether Stimson is going to run or not. People, he hasn't announced yet and won't say anything at this point. I would bet he will. I think he's going to. But, you know, that's if it's just right now, you've got Fred Richardson, you've got Carlos Finley in the race. It'll be interesting. If Stimson doesn't get in, that really creates a different dynamic. I mean, I'm sure you would see some others jump in as well if that happened. But I think the mayor will stay. Will try to run again.
But I mean,
it'll be very hard to beat.
How crowded does this get? I mean, are we looking at, if Stimson does run? Are we looking at three people, or do you think there's another serious candidate? I mean, we always have some non-serious candidates for, which is great.
I don't think there'll be any other serious candidate. You know, I don't think I just don't think there would be. There would be no oxygen in the room, if somebody do it. I mean, if somebody, for instance, wanted to run, I guess, if you want to say right and left, they're nonpartisan.
Even though nonpartisan, right?
Nonpartisan races, if we're going to call it that, if you had somebody who wanted to run on the right of Stimson, that person would, I'm sure, get crushed. I don't think they would have much of a chance at all. All they would do is just make sure there's a runoff.
Yeah, well, and for people to realize, too, that this is August, not November, too, for the mayoral.
Yeah, it'll happen faster than you think. You know, it'll get going in earnest pretty quick. These things, it's going to be really interesting. To me, it's going to be interesting to see if Richardson and Finley can how they're going to approach one another, because I have a feeling it's going to get a little hot about in terms of, Fred feels like it's his time, and it's
right.
I've been shown text messages and emails from him to other people telling them not to run. So, you know, it's I think he's going to be, regardless of what he's saying, I think he's probably a little irritated that somebody else has jumped in.
Okay, yes.
I'm thinking, I'm just picturing this as we get on into the summer, or maybe spring, you'll have a meeting of the Mobile City Council, the mayor will be there, and you'll have two people that are running for that job, and how much of the, you know, what should be the regular business of the city will become somewhat grandstanding, you know, for election.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have that. And I mean, it's also, I mean, at some point ego gets into it as well. It's like, who wants to be the guy who ends up third, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to, you know, if you say, well, is it going to get tough and is it going to get nasty? I'm sure it will. But, you know, somebody will come in third if there's going to be a runoff, and that person's probably not going to like that.
Has there been a quote from Fred since Carlos threw his hat in?
He said, you know, they're friendly and that they will, you know, approach it professionally and be friendly. He has not. I kind of expected him to get a little bit raw about it, but he hasn't so far. We'll see. I mean, it's a long way between here and there.
All right, Rob, remind folks online and subscribing to Lanyap how they do it.
All right, guys, y'all can go to lanyapmobile.com if you want to check us out. If you want to give the gift of localnews.com to give somebody a subscription or give yourself a subscription and get one of those swanky new T-shirts as part of it if you sign up for that.
Good stuff, Rob. Nice. Appreciate it, man.
Right out of Rob's third drawer down right there, right?
Yeah. I'm taking them off right now, holding them back up.
All right, brother. Be good.
Take care. Y'all have a great weekend.
You got it. A lot of fun with Rob, huh?
It always is.
FM Talk 106.5. Thanks again, Sean.
Hey, no problem.
To you midday, too. And got Jeff Poore straight ahead in about 6 minutes on FM Talk 106.5.